Hello coders, welcome to episode 201 of the House of Code World podcast. Today we're going to continue our little mini series about interviews, CVs, getting a job in the software development industry. Last episode we were talking about the soft skills and I gave you a bunch of examples of what soft skill questions you may be asked in your software development interview. And today we're going to be talking about CVs and the do's and don'ts of writing a CV. Now, I'm currently writing a book, as I mentioned in the last episode, around getting into the software development industry, and I'm going to pull out some passages that I've created for this book around the CVs. One of the chapters is going to be called like the Software Development CV Checklist, so we're going to be pulling some bits and pieces out of there. The book hasn't been published yet. I'm still writing it. I'll be linking that. I'll be going through the videos and linking it, backlinking it once it's out. Okay, so we're going to split this up into a bunch of segments. So the first one, we're going to talk about rules, some rules when to follow when writing a CV. Then we're going to go through like the actual checklist. And then after that, I'm going to dive in a little bit more into some depth around parts of the book. Okay, so number one, the rules. Personally, I keep my CV to no more than 4 pages. This means that the person reading the CV doesn't have to go through a whole book of what I have done over my career. It also ensures that I am very concise as to what I put down in my CV, because when you're limiting the size of your CV, you are limiting the actual words that you write, right? So you've got a word limit, essentially. And you force yourself to be very... So prioritize the things that you want to put out higher than the others. We'll talk about that more in a minute. The next one is that the more senior you become in your software development career, the less wordy the CV becomes, because you're talking less about your quote-unquote stories and more about the actual specific skills that you can bring to the table. Obviously, the more junior that you are, the less experience that you've got, the less things you can put on to your CV, and therefore the more likely you would be to actually pad things out a little bit more and actually explain in more detail as to what it was that you were actually doing when you were doing the thing that you want to put down in the CV, right? Whereas when you're more senior, it's more of like a headline, like I did this, I did that, I did this, rather than I did this and this helped me and this helped the team and yada, 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 yada. It's, you know, you limit yourself to the skills, and maybe it's just the headlines, maybe it's just the name of the skill, and then maybe some talking points around that skill, but you don't go into depth. Maybe you do when you're more junior. Now, I want to just put a pause on this a minute and just caveat everything I'm saying by saying that there is no industry standard way of writing a CV. Things work for different people and in different industries, okay? This is just what I have come to experience and learn in my career. I've been a developer for over 20 years, so the things that I'm saying here have worked for me, but they might not work for you. And I may be doing things incorrectly. And if I am, and if you've got any more tips, then please do let me know in the comment section below. Okay, so we're going to continue on with some of these sort of like high level rules. So you want to always have more than one CV. This is vital. Always have more than one CV, because you want to be tailoring your CV to the application that you're applying for, right? For the job specification you're applying for. And therefore, you want to be pushing up some of the skills that the application requires higher up in the CV. The priority of the CV is incredibly, incredibly important. So when the job application requires certain frameworks over other frameworks, and you have done those frameworks, you want to make that really apparent. You want to have that right at the top, you know, I have done this. And it's exactly what they're looking for. Rather than have that like lower down in the CV or not mentioned enough. And that's another point. You want to increase the amount of things that you want to increase the repetition. Repetition is good, right? So if they want this particular skill and you've done that skill in multiple jobs, right? You want to keep them aware that, yes, you've done that in this job and you've done that in this job and that job and whatnot. Just don't have it as a single line item. All right. So if you've been a symphony developer for, I don't know, 10 years, then make it known that you've been a symphony developer for 10 years by saying and identifying that symphony was something that you used in all of your previous projects and jobs. If you were a Laravel developer, do the same thing. If you were a JavaScript developer, do the same thing. Don't just have JavaScript and Symfony in there one single time in the CV. You want to make it, repetition is good. Repetition is good. Okay, so while saying that, you want to reduce the repetition of words that don't actually add value to the CV, but to allow you to maximize the space that you can actually fit content in CV. So, for example, if you've got a checklist where you're saying, I have experience in this, and then the next checklist item, I have experience in this, and then in the next checklist, I have experience in this. You're basically saying the words, I have experience in, for every item on the checklist. This may sound blatantly obvious, but this is something that I've fallen into a trap before. The words, I have experience in, should really only be placed once in the CV, right at the top. I have experience in the following, and then a checklist of all of the skills that you offer to the job. And you want to try and group those as well, right? So don't just go one skill after another skill after another skill, group them. So for example, if you've got skills in DevOps, then say, I have experience in DevOps, in brackets, the things that you've done in DevOps, next line item. So you're still in, I have experience of, and then maybe it's front end development. And then in brackets, the actual thing, the tools that you were using, JavaScript, CSS, blah, 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 right? So grouping your skills and having your skills tailored towards the actual role that you're applying for is vital. All right, so we're going to now go into a break, and then after that, I'm going to talk about why one CV is simply not enough. This show is brought to you by Cloudways. Cloudways is a multi-cloud hosting platform that allows you to choose between the top three cloud platform providers, such as DigitalOcean, AWS, and Google Cloud, for your next application. Not only that, but Cloudways offers 24/7 support, a load of applications that you can one-click install, different environments, staging environments, and staging and testing is a really important thing that we talk about on this show, the importance of having QA environments, staging environments, not just production environments. It also comes with free SSL certificates, a dedicated firewall, Cloudflare Enterprise CDN, automated backups. The list of things that Cloudways provides is endless. Also, they have a really good learning resources section that you can learn how to use these services on the Cloudways site. Now, do use the Cloudways link that I've got in the show notes below, because right now they have a 40% off 4 months and 40 free migrations. So do check out that. Use the link in the show notes below. You're also going to support the show by doing so at no additional cost to yourself. So right now, at the time of recording, they have a 40% off for 4 months and 40 free migrations. So do check out Cloudways to host your next application. Okay, so let's talk about why one CV simply isn't enough. And I'm going to be talking about, or giving you some paragraphs that I've got in this book. So I'll start by saying a CV should be tailored to the role that you are applying for. Listed in the job requirements will be a set of skills, tools, and necessary experience needed. You should match these with the attributes that you can bring to the job and highlight these high up in the CV. You want to make it obvious to the hiring manager that you match the requested requirements. So this dives in a little bit to the fact that the order of the CV, the top needs to be the skills that you can bring to the table, and you'd want to tailor that to the jobs that you are applying for. If you're applying for more than one job, which, let's face it, everybody does, you'll need to have more than one CV, because those skills need to be ordered and they just need to match. They need to marry up well with the job that you're applying for. Okay, I go on to say, this ultimately means that you will need to create many custom CVs that are tailored to each of your applications. It becomes very obvious to hiring managers that the applicant has sent out a blanket-wide CV in the hopes that some of the listed skills match their requirements. Unfortunately, this also shows the hiring manager that the applicant hasn't put much thought or effort into the actual application, all right? So if you've got one CV and you've just got a bunch of skills, some of them aren't even relevant to the job, but they're really high up, higher up than the skills that are relevant to the job, then the hiring manager may think, well, you know, you've just sent that out to like a whole bunch of companies in the hopes that one company may be more tailored towards your CV, right? It should be the other way around. Your CV should be tailored towards the job application that you're applying for. We're going to move into knowing your target audience. This is another section of the book. So if a job specification leans more heavily towards upgrading systems and improving existing software instead of enhancing or adding new features, then you want to emphasize that more strongly. Let me start that again. I need to put in a full stop, I think, in this sentence. If the job specification leans more heavily towards upgrading systems and improving existing software instead of enhancing or adding new features, then you want to emphasize that more strongly in your CV. The times in which you upgraded the software instead of built new features, all right? So let's say, for example, the job you're applying for requires you to upgrade, I don't know, Drupal, right? And you've done that in the past, right? But you've also built features for Drupal as well. You've actually built modules, custom modules in Drupal. But the job specification has nothing to do with building new features. Your job is to upgrade the existing modules, upgrade PHP. You want to be tailoring your CV to say less about the modules that you've created and more about the modules that you've upgraded, okay? Because that's the thing that they want you to do. You should also say that you've created modules yourself, but it shouldn't be as high as the need for upgrading modules, okay? All right, so then I go on to say, again, it is about knowing what is the core requirements of the job role and mapping your CV around those aspects to make your CV stand out above the rest. Okay, so if they want you to upgrade things and you don't have anything to do with upgrading and you have done upgrading in the past, then your CV is going to be stand out less. Okay, so we're going to go for another break, and then we're going to dive into the software development CV checklist that I've got. I'm going to grab a drink because my throat is, as you can probably tell, I've got a bit of a cold. Anyway, I'll speak to you after the break. If you're looking to level up your programming skills or wanting to learn a new programming language, then I highly recommend checking out the affiliate link in the show notes below for Manning. So with Manning, you can learn programming skills using their online video course platform, or you can buy some of their books. They're both ebooks as well as physical books on all sorts of programming disciplines, such as Python, artificial intelligence, machine learning, testing, SQL, all sorts of various different things. Their bestsellers at the minute are around artificial intelligence, AI powered developer. There is AI assisted data science. There is also learn AI assisted Python programming. And if I was to go to the all products section here, we can see that they have a huge amount of titles that you can choose from, including JavaScript, C#, Go, Spark, Kubernetes. And the reason why I like Manning myself is because I'm actually a Manning author. I've created this Docker in Motion course. It is 135 exercises, 5 hours and 19 minutes, all teaching you Docker. Now, as a Manning author, I have experienced firsthand how thorough they are when it comes to creating content and resources. So my Docker in Motion course here, it was actually sent out to a lot of Docker devs who were able to advise and help me tweak this course. And they do that with all of their resources. So
I really do recommend Manning. And of course, they have a lot of deals on at the minute because we're coming up to Christmas. So this week, buy two or more and save 45%. So do check out Manning. Use the affiliate link in the show notes below. You'll not only help support this channel, but you'll also level up your programming skills.
So let's talk about software development CV checklists. What is the checklist that you should follow when creating your CV? Before I start, I need to apologize if you hear any dogs barking. They're not mine, but you can hear them. Okay, so software development CV checklists. I go into the book by saying there are many wrong ways to create your CV, but there isn't an industry standard that software developers should follow. There are no rules to stick to or guidelines to keep. Right? So this was a caveat that I said earlier. Some hiring managers prefer a CV to be laid out in certain ways. Regardless of this, let us discuss what your CV could include. As a guide, we will look at my CV and how that's laid out. In the following chapter, you will learn how my CV is ordered and why in the way it is. That might be for another episode, perhaps. What we're going to focus on at the minute is just a bunch of rules around like a checklist. You should have this, you should have that, and then or you shouldn't have this and you shouldn't have that. And then maybe in the future episode, we'll actually discuss the order. And in the book, I've gone quite thoroughly as to this is why I have this above this, you know, in the order of the CV. Because the order of the CV, man, that is important. All right, so it is best to contain the following elements in your CV. So work experience ordered by date. Any qualifications that you may have, and in brackets here, I've got that relate to software development or relate to qualifications that show your loyalty and your responsibility, right? So for example, this is a bit of a contentious issue, because if you're new to this industry and you've literally just come out of school, right, you're just going to have if you're in England, it's your GCSEs, right? You get your A levels. You're going to have qualifications that don't actually have anything to do with software development, but they're just qualifications that you've had through school. Yeah, you want to put those down, right? But when you're a senior dev, when you've been in this industry for 10, 20 years, what's the point? Because nobody cares at that stage. Right. And again, I go back to the point that the more senior you are, the less wordy your CV needs to be, and the more precise your CV needs to be. And you are always fighting against the fact that you've only got 4 pages to use. So don't waste your time putting down your GCSEs when you've been in this industry for 20 years. Right. However, there is a caveat to this, of course. Let's say you've got a degree, an actual higher education, in some, I don't know, a master's degree, a PhD, in something that is totally irrelevant to software development. Go ahead and add that. And if you've got links to your dissertation, your thesis, whatever, add a link to that as well in your CV. That shows that you have actually done something outside of the software development space. But it just shows that you are able you've got the discipline to actually do, study something and follow it through. Higher education is totally different to like your GCSEs or your A levels or whatnot. All right. Or I don't really know what the equivalent is in the US, but you know, high school, right? So the more skilled you are in software development, the less important having a high school education is on your CV. Again, that's a line item that I would rather use for something else. All right. Okay. So what was that? Point number one. No, that was point number two. So any qualifications that you may have. Point number two is any open source projects that you may have or have contributed to. Definitely. So if you've contributed to a lot of open source software, then that's brilliant. I applaud you for that. And you want to make that known, right? You want to make that known and perhaps even link to pull requests, merge requests, that kind of stuff, you know, even if you're a part of a mailing list, right? Make that known. Make that known. Okay, so obviously your name and any post-nominal initials, excuse me. So I'm a member of the British Computer Society, and of course I have my degree, right? So I have some little letters letters that go after my name. Does it work? It looks cool. And yeah, the British Computer Society is a good organization to join, right? Especially if you are a contractor. It's great for networking and whatnot. I've had some conversations with people about that. You know, what do these things mean? And then you can go into depth. It's a talking point, right? It's a talking point. And it doesn't really consume a lot of space on the CV. I think it's important because it shows that you're invested in the thing. You know, you have these qualifications within this industry. Any community work that you do, this is important. This often gets missed out, right? So community work outside of software development. So if you're a volunteer, for example, and you do volunteering, like, you know, a couple of hours a week, that's really important. That shows that you are dedicated. That shows that you care about the community. That is so important. Yes, it's not particularly relevant to software development, but it's about you. It's a characteristic that you can bring to the table. Any publications that you may have. So for me, I mean, my publications in the sense that I have a YouTube channel, I have a podcast, I've created a bunch of courses for various companies and whatnot. And I've done user group talks, not yet, but hopefully some point in the future, I'm going to be doing conference talks. Those things are awesome to put on your CV. Really, really cool. All right. Because it shows again that you're passionate about the what it is that you're doing and the industry. So have that in the CV. A summary of your skills and assets. Now, I would say, and we're not going to talk about the order of the CV, but I would say this needs to go right at the top, and this needs to be properly tailored towards the application that you're going for. We've talked about this quite a bit today. So if you are a different nationality, then it would be best to include your employment status as well, all right? Because you need to have like a right to work in the UK and whatnot, and if visas and blah, 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 blah. If you've got up-to-date details, put that on the CV as well. That's going to be a question, okay? If you're a foreigner, that is going to be a question. Okay, so let's now talk about the don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do these on your CV. So number one, images. Please don't put images on your CV. Please, you know, it's... Just don't. Your CVs should be nice and light and just full of words. They shouldn't have any pretty pictures. They shouldn't have any photos of you. I mean, that comes later perhaps, but it doesn't need, it's not TikTok, man. It's not, don't do this. Also hard to read fonts. CVs are boring, all right? But they're boring because they work, because they're not fancy. They're a business report, a report that businesses read about you, right? They shouldn't include sparkle. They should not include sparkle. So again, mixed fonts and font sizes. Keep it consistent, man. All right, multiple colors. Don't bother with colors. Seriously, don't. Because if you start working with colors, if you start working with fonts, if you start working with images, dynamic content, then, oh my word, you're going to get into an accessibility mud, right? You're going to get into accessibility mud, and that's not cool. Because these are going to be printed out, these are going to be read digitally, don't bother putting colors on, don't bother putting dynamic content on. Seriously, don't bother mixing up your fonts, and don't bother putting images. Seriously, if someone's having to print out an image of your face because of something that you've written in your CV that they need to pass around and they have to print this out 5 times. Yeah, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Another thing that you shouldn't include is cover summaries. A cover summary is essentially, in my opinion, and again, these are the things that have worked for me. So you may find that this is actually something that you do and it's worked for you. And if that has happened, that's cool. But cover summaries, in my opinion, are cover letters, right? They're more bios about me rather than, you know, these are the lists of my work experience, my things that I've done. Again, cover summaries can get quite wordy. I would rather use that space for, I mean, look, I have been a contractor for a long time. Contractors have to, we work on multiple projects per year, because our contracts will last for like the smallest contracts could last for weeks, right? Or 3 months or 6 months, right? So there's often when you're a contractor, you work on lots and lots of projects over your career, the span of your career, which means that you touch on lots of different technologies, different project styles, different ways of doing it. Which means that when it comes to writing a CV, when you're limiting yourself to only 4 pages, that can get quite tough. That can get quite tough. So you want to be ensuring that anything you add to the CV provides value and is ordered correctly. So when it comes to writing a bio about yourself at the top of the CV, that's, in my opinion, that space could be used better. And it gets to a point where you've worked with so many different projects and so many different clients that things are just line items on a CV. I worked here and I did this, right? I'm not going to go into the details. If you want to know, you'll ask me on the interview, but I've given you enough information for you to pick that out, right? I'm not going to go into the whole spiel of how I influenced the team doing this and what the disadvantages of finding out blah, blah, blah. And yeah, you know what I mean? And seriously, facts over stories, people. Facts over stories. All right, that kind of went away with me a bit. Let's talk about progress bars. Do not have these. Seriously, do not have these. I know it's very tempting. Oh, I'm a software developer and I'm about to write a CV. And so I'm going to build myself a JavaScript dynamic page about myself, and I'm going to put in loading bars. So every time the page loads, you're going to see a percentage of how I feel that I've learned HTML, CSS, and the person reading this is going to have to just wait for the animation to go. Just don't do this. This is just stupid. Seriously, don't. And do not have progress bars in a printed out CV as well. That is just ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. And who's measuring this? You? No. All right. So we're now going to talk about, get off my high horse here. We're going to start talking about some other parts in the book. So I'm just going to go through like some of the chapter titles that I've got around the CVs. So first of all, facts over stories. I mentioned this earlier, right? Please just talk about what it is that you've done rather than how you've done it, right? So I did this, 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 and this, and this. Don't talk about how I did this and why I did this and what changes that happened to the team. You know, the caveat here is that when you are a junior developer, you may have to do that to pad out your CV. But when you're quite established in this industry and you have very limited space, facts over stories are very important. Repeating yourself is a good thing, especially if that is to do with the application that you're applying for, right? So if they've got skills in there that you need, that you must have, right? And if you can say that you've done that thing multiple times throughout your career, then that's a good thing, all right? So repetition of things that they require is a good thing to have in your CV. Be loose with dates if you need to, okay? So it could be memory, could be memory loss, or it could be the fact that you actually took some time off. It's okay to be a little bit loosey-goosey with dates, right? So let's say that you were in this project for 3 months, but it spanned 6 months perhaps, but it was a bit awkward in the year. So it was like you had the first two months off that side and a couple of months off this side, that kind of thing. It still say it was a 6 month contract, but within this year, right? Within this year, you don't have to give precise start and end dates. And you certainly don't need to give precise days of when you ended a contract or ended an employment and then another day in which you started a new employment. Don't bother with that. My CV just has like this year to this year, this year to this year. And you'll see where I've had multiple contracts within the same year. It is just this year, this year, this year, this year, this year, or this date to present, this date for the current role, right? Okay. So where are we at? Being loose with dates. Knowing your audience is vital. Knowing your audience is incredibly vital. Know who is going to read your CV, what kind of skills they have and what they're after, right? And also know the company that you're applying for. Do your research, man. Do your research. Proofreading your CV is vital. Oh my God, have I put some gotchas out? So there was a point where my CV was not lit, was littered with bad spelling mistakes and whatnot. I'm dyslexic, okay? So I mean, I shouldn't use that as an excuse. That's not an excuse. The explanation, it's an explanation, not an excuse. My explanation was that I was doing this in a mad, mad rush, okay? And I pushed it out to all of the job boards that I knew, and I sent it to all the recruitment agents that I have in my network. And then it came to light that I had spelling mistakes. Now, my CVs are still floating about. My old CVs are still floating about. I'm still getting recruitment agents call me up saying, I have a CV from you from like 2019. Just wanted to make sure that you're still in the industry and whether you're looking for work. And I cringe whenever I hear that because I know that CVs back then, they weren't proofread. So proofread your CVs. Get someone else to read your CV as well. That's really important. Get someone else to read it. And if they... So you can get people who aren't in the industry to read your CV because they'll pick out like stupid gotchas and spelling mistakes, but also get someone who is in the industry to read your CV as well. That's important too. Okay, so knowing when to pad out your CV and cut back the CV is also important. So, all right. I know we've mentioned this a little bit today, but I'm going to give you a little bit more of an example. So when I started out in this industry, I was talking about, in the CV, I was talking about all the things that I did outside of software development, my GCSEs, the work that I had. I was working in a factory, right? So I put those things down. I didn't have anything to actually put down in terms of software development in my CV, apart from the projects that I was doing at university and some of the side hustles that I had at the time, some of the freelance work that I had at the time. But the majority of the CV was actually padded out by other elements of the things that I would do or have done as a career to get to the point that I have been. And none of that was software development. So it was like working in a supermarket, working in a restaurant, working in a factory. I was rolling sugar and rolling donuts and sugar in a factory. I have CVs where I have that, right? And then as the career started progressing and as things started growing, right, I started to reduce the amount of stuff that was irrelevant on my CV. And I was making the CV more tailored to a software developer. And that is just the cycle of your progression, right? So you progress in your career, you've got more things to talk about. Now, it was only... The good few years of my career, I still didn't have a lot to say. And so I would start talking about the stories, some specific projects that I was working on within the web agencies that I was in. That's fine. That is super fine. But now, as a contractor, having so many projects under my belt, I can't do that. Because, you know, it comes to a point where it's like, what do I remove just to add this new thing on? Which is why, apologies about that, I am back. The dogs were barking. Goose was not happy with the postman. And Murphy didn't like the punk rock music that he was listening to. Okay, so we were talking about knowing when to pad out your CV. And I was discussing, like, my CV and how I've had to reduce things as time goes by. This is where you start losing the stories and getting more facts in place. And it now has got to a point where it is pretty much fighting for space in the CV. So I'm looking for things to cut out, things that I don't find relevant. And this also goes back to tailoring your CV to the application, because there may be more need to add things, right, based on the application that you're applying for. I had this conversation with one recruitment agent recently, actually, where it's like, I said to him, I can't add every single tool that I've ever used, because there's just so many. There's too many tools out there, especially in the front end. And that's why I don't have these things on there. I mean, you know, you send out a CV, which is like your the global CV, right? The things that, just in case the recruitment agent might go, oh yeah, you've got this and you've got that, that's great, and we'll tailor it towards the jobs that they may have coming up. That's one way of doing it. But you also have a bunch of sub CVs, which are based on the global CV, but more tailored towards the application that you're applying for. I hope that all made sense. And if you've got any questions, then really please do let me know in the comment section below. I want to say a massive thank you to the Patreons. So we've got a new Patreon, David Sprague. We've got Marjane Zamlerick, and we've got Allo Mick. Unrelated. Every week I'm going to say these names differently, I'm pretty sure. But if you want to get the shows early, and if you want to help support the show, please head over to patreon.com/howtocodewell. And also, if you would like to buy me a coffee as well, go to buymeacoffee.com/howtocodewell. Links are in the show notes below. Thank you ever so much for watching. Happy coding, everyone. Lots of love, and I'll see you again soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.